From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. On today's show, correspondent John Kalish investigates phone companies that reportedly engage in price gouging of families who call loved ones in prison. Also, travel expert and globetrotter extraordinaire John Haggins helps us find the perfect winter getaway. And finally, jazz, fusion, and R&B singer Maisa Leak takes a break from touring to help focus attention on a rare respiratory illness that affects premature and other at-risk infants, including her own son. But first, in 1934, then-President Franklin Roosevelt traveled the countryside advocating on behalf of a radical new federal program that would, in his words, protect Americans against the hazards and vicissitudes of old age. 70 years after the Great Depression, the Bush administration appears determined to reconceive Social Security, the cornerstone of Roosevelt's New Deal, by allowing workers to invest a portion of their own retirement funds into the stock market. Advocates of the plan say Americans would benefit over the long term, particularly African Americans, whose below-average life expectations put them at a disadvantage under the current system. Opponents argue that the financial stability of generations to come is too precious to be left to the fluctuations of the stock market. Here to help us sort through the issues are David Certner, the Director of Federal Affairs for the American Association of Retired Persons, or AARP, who joins us from Washington. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me today.
Also in D.C., from the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, we have its President, Robert Woodson. Bob, thank you as well.
Pleased to be here.
Let's start with this, Bob. If the president is ultimately able to restructure Social Security, would you briefly tell us what it will look like? After all, we're lacking a lot of details right now on the core issue of privatization.
I don't know the details of the president's plan, but I can tell you some general principles that causes me to support privatization of some sort. First of all, we know that according to Congress, if we retain the current system, it will cost about $27 trillion in additional funding over the next 75 years to keep the system afloat. In 2018, the Social Security system will begin to spend more than it receives. So there is a crisis looming that we must address. And if you look at CBS Times poll, about half the public supports the idea of allowing individuals to do private investments. And predictably, people between 18 and 44 favor it, the majority over 45 do not. If you consider that the life expectancy for a black man currently is about 67 years old, and half of them, that means, will not even live to collect any of the money they put into the system. And many of them will have children that are not minors, and therefore that money is lost. By contrast, white women will live to the age of about 80, which means that under the current system, there's probably a net transfer per person of $10,000 from black men to older white women.
Well, let me bring David into the conversation. I want to talk about the African-American issue a little lower into the program. But first, David, the AARP has publicly opposed the president's plan to privatize Social Security, but you do acknowledge that something must be done to, as you say in your last bulletin to the membership, fix it. Now, doesn't that mean that some sort of Social Security reform is inevitable?
Well, what we know about Social Security is that it's a program that's worked now for over 70 years. The problem that Social Security faces is a long-term one. Right now, the Congressional Budget Office and the Social Security trustees all say basically the same thing, that Social Security can pay benefits for at least another four decades. But what we know is that people are living longer. And because people are living longer, there's going to be more need for money to support those people living longer four or five decades from now. We have a long-term solvency problem in Social Security, and we need to decide that we're either going to pay out benefits over a longer period of years or we're going to put more money in the system in order to keep benefits up. That's the problem with Social Security right now.
One of the things that is not clear to both of you gentlemen I'd like to get you to respond to is this issue of whether or not Social Security is facing a crisis. The president says it is. Bob, you just said so yourself, and yet the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says Social Security will be able to pay full benefits with no change through the year 2052. So who's right, Bob?
Well, that's not the figures that I have says that it'll be a crisis in by the year 2018. If you look at the current increase in the life expectancy of certain groups, That's why 60% of black Americans and 50% of all Americans favor some change. But the reality is, if a person pays into the system and they die, they cannot leave that benefit, that money, to their offsprings. And so it's just lost. But people keep talking about stock markets, but I'm not talking about stock markets. I'm talking about if you were to take a portion of your money and put it into T-bills, into a savings account that is protected, it will yield a lot more than what we currently have.
David, if I'm between the ages of 20 and 40 right now, today, and I'm working, how worried should I be about Social Security?
Well, probably as worried as people were 30 years ago, when most people back then didn't think they were going to get benefits. But Social Security is the most important program we have. Social Security has always been changed to make sure it can pay full benefits. There are some right now that are trying to manufacture a crisis atmosphere because they don't like the program and want to change the program. They want to do it by partial privatization. Partial privatization is both too expensive. We have no money to cover the transition costs that it will take to do that, and it shifts additional risk to people who shouldn't be risking their retirement security. We encourage people to save and invest for retirement, but we need to do that in addition to Social Security. Social Security provides the base of income. And I think Bob is misinformed on some of the numbers. There is no crisis in Social Security. There's plenty of money coming into Social Security. Right now, Social Security is about $150 billion in the black, and it's continuing to take in more money than it needs. It's building up a reserve because we know 4 decades from now, because people are living longer, we have to spread out those payments over a larger number of years.
I think you're living a different world than I am. According to the Social Security Administration, it will cost $500 billion to establish a personal retirement account system. If Congress returns the current system, it will cost $27 trillion in additional funding over the next 75 years to keep it afloat. A personal retirement account would lower that number to $7 or $8 trillion. So, but for someone to say that there is not a crisis, then why is the public by 50% demanding some kind of reform? If everything is as you say, why is the public so concerned? Are they being misled?
Well, let me add on to that question also, once again, for you, David. Your organization does say that some change is needed, correct?
And it's because people are living longer, and we're going to need more money to maintain the current benefit levels in the future. But
where's that money
the numbers
coming
that
from?
Bob is talking about are simply made-up numbers. We don't have some kind of $27 billion shortfall in Social Security. What we have is a shortfall of about 25% starting in the year 2042.
Well, let me ask this.
We can make up that with some modest changes to the system, as we've always done in the past.
Let me ask both of you to respond to this part of the debate. The stock market is subject to far more violent fluctuations than standard government bonds. Do you both think, or do either of you think, that the potential profit margins could compensate for, let's say, losses incurred by retiring during a recession? Bob, you first.
First of all, if a person, let's assume the worst-case scenario, if you were to invest 50% in the stock market and it were to totally lose it all, and 50% in government bonds, you would still earn $192,000 more than from Social Security. So even if the worst-case scenario, having invested half of it would produce more of a return for a person.
What's your take, David?
Well, I think Bob is just simply making up numbers. The fact is right now that Social Security has a shortfall. Some are suggesting that we take some of the money that's currently going into Social Security and put it in privatization accounts. Well, obviously, if you take money from Social Security, that means that the underlying Social Security system is going to be even in worse shape. That means somebody's going to have to make up that shortfall to protect the benefits for current retirees. So anybody who might even think that they would do better with an individual account is still going to have to take money out of that account and pay the obligations for the people who are currently retired, which will dramatically lower any kind of return they get. Plus, on top of that, we know that will fluctuate, that some people will be winners and some people will be losers.
Yeah, well, the losers
people
here,
winners
in the terms of the black community, is
lose.
But
that those
on.
People who are paying into it now because of the lower life expectancy will get zero benefits because half of the blacks won't live long enough to collect Social Security, but older white women who live to 80 will, and that is a net transfer of $10,000 per capita from one class of people to another under the current system.
What about that?
Are my numbers wrong on that, too?
David, what about that, as we bring this to a close, the issue of whether or not reform for Social Security would be of particular benefit to African Americans, particularly because of the life expectancy rates and issues that have already been raised by Bob?
Well, again, I think Bob has these numbers very confused and mixed up and is trying to make some kind of a race analogy here. The fact is that Social Security is a better program for lower wage workers, and African Americans tend to be lower wage workers. Also, the life expectancy numbers are not quite as he suggests. Because
what are they?
Once you reach age 65, the difference in life expectancy between a black male and a white male is only about from 15 to 16 years. It's about a little over one year's difference once you get to age 65, unfortunately.
Half of them do not get to 65.
Well,
that's the problem.
Many die at young ages or as babies, and those people are not even contributing to
it. Oh, come on.
Let me jump in, gentlemen, only because our time is running short. We could talk about this at length. I need to get sort of a closing sense from both of you whether or not you think that there will, in fact, be some reform sooner rather than later. We've got about 30 seconds. Bob, you first.
I think that the current demand for reform will compel the Congress and the President to bring about some level of reform. The system is broke. It cannot just continue business as usual.
David, what do you say?
There will be reform, but there will not be reform such as the President proposes in private accounts. They cost too much. There's no way to pay it, and it shakes the foundation of income security that have served Americans very well for seven decades.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for a very spirited and enlightening conversation. David Sertner is the Director of Federal Affairs for the AARP. Bob Woodson is President of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Gentlemen, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.